Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's done. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's done. He's done. Touchdown, Washington Redskins.
Woo-hoo. Kick up. Kick his ball away.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Adam Vinatieri goes to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up, throws. Touchdown!
Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House, Mike, coming to you here October 3rd. And we are, I say this every year at this time. I'm going to say it again. I'll say it again next year. It just blows me away when we get to this one quarter of the season in the books. Week 4, down. We're just now 2 days away from week 5 starting up. But we're here tonight to take a look back at what went down this past weekend in week 4. And in some respects, we got to kind of say that it was a continuation, perhaps maybe not as dramatic, perhaps, as last week, but a bit of a continuation of Upset Sunday from week 3. Kind of continuing this week. And as a result, we've got some league standings that are pretty remarkable. Now, obviously, I think there are probably a lot of people that are going to be willing to sit back and say, well, now, slow your roll there, Frat House Mike, because it isn't going to look like that come the end of the season. And certainly, they might be right, but when you've got the Buffalo Bills considered to be perhaps maybe one of the better teams in the AFC and leading the AFC East with a 3-1 record, that's pretty remarkable. And I don't care if we're talking about the first quarter of the season or not. Now, is that going to be that way at the end of the season? Well, we could sit here and speculate, I suppose. We'll know better in about 8 weeks. But it certainly gives us something fun to talk about for this evening, anyhow. As I pointed out, Upset Sunday kind of continued. Seven favorites went down this past weekend. So, 16 games, seven of them. Favored seven of our, teams that you would think should have come out on top, didn't. Yeah, I think that you can probably classify that as a continuation of what some would call Upset Sunday. And as I just pointed out, the Buffalo Bills being one of those. But who would have thought that they would have taken out the favored Atlanta Falcons? That was a team, myself included, many were calling perhaps maybe the best team in the NFC. I think it's way too premature to say that they're still not the best team in the NFC, but boy, oh boy, they went down to the Buffalo Bills this past weekend. Buffalo Bills look pretty good in doing it. And as I pointed out, that puts the Buffalo Bills in the top of the, what I'm calling right now, upside down AFC East. So we're going to take a look at that game. We'll take a look also at the Los Angeles Rams. They took on the Dallas Cowboys in Dallas, by the way, and beat them. And that now, I think it's fair at this point now, week four, I think it is fair to begin asking the question, are the LA Rams for real this year? I mean, we've got four games we can look at, and one might be able to say that they could be, I don't know, are they the real deal? It's going to be, I throw it out there to anybody that wants to call in this evening. Love to hear from people. But listen, you got Todd Gurley, who's leading the way there, second leading running back in the entire NFL. So, boy. So we'll be taking a look at the L.A. Rams. Now, talking about a team that everybody kind of expected, I mean, in this we go back to this, and I keep hating to bring it back up, but, hey, it was beat into all of us in the offseason, particularly as we got close to the preseason. New England Patriots, many were anticipating they were going to be an unbeaten team. They now have lost two. They're 2-2. They're playing .500 football after just 4 weeks. And two of those losses, by the way, coming at home. Because this past weekend, the Carolina Panthers, who couldn't score, I guess Cam Newton woke up this past week, goes into New England and beats the Patriots. Now, mind you, it was a good finish. And it did look like the Patriots might actually pull it out. But make no mistake about this, the Patriots were down almost the entire game. Talking about a team that was down almost the entire game, in fact, I believe they were. How about the Tennessee Titans? Man alive. They lose Marcus Mariota halfway through that game, and they may have lost more than that. They lost a big, big step. Houston Texans put a throttle in on them, 57-14 the other day. Everybody and their mother right now talking about Deshaun Watson. I'm just going to speak for myself. I'm not on the Deshaun Watson bandwagon yet. Yeah, I'm not there. But love to hear from some Texans fans this evening. Let us know what you think about that one. Take down the Tennessee Titans, a team that many people, including myself again, kind of thought, well, maybe they're on the brink of taking the next step this season. And then last but not least, the Denver Broncos went into Oakland. I believe that was in Oakland. Am I right, or was that in Denver?
That was at Denver,
yep. Oakland Raiders, however, lost 16-10. This past weekend. However, they may have lost a lot more than that, as the Oakland Raiders dropped to 2-2. Denver Broncos go to 3-1. And suddenly, the AFC West, a division that many, and I think both Brandon and I right here, said, hey, certainly the best team, the best division in the AFC, suddenly you've got a 4-0 Kansas City Chiefs team at the top. You got a 3-1 Denver Broncos, and now the Oakland Raiders 2-2. Losing that game, however, was not the only thing that they had to overcome. It appears at this point right now, reports are that, in fact, Derek Carr out anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks at this point. That according to head coach Jack Del Rio, and you got to wonder whether, in fact, Jack Del Rio is, suddenly sitting over there quoting Yogi Berra. It's deja vu all over again. It just came a little bit earlier this year. Wow. So hopefully that won't affect them too much, but we will take a look at that game as well. If anybody wants to jump in here with us, we're going to touch on a couple of the big, big games over this past weekend that had the greatest impact on the overall standings and on where things are right now in the NFL. But certainly we are more than happy to jump all across the league. So if there's anything you want to bring up, if you want to talk about your team, whatever it might be, That's fine. 347-826-9964. This is where we come to talk on Tuesday night, talking X's and O's strictly. Leave all the other drama, nonsense, and static alone. We're taking a look simply at what went on the field this past weekend. 347-826-9964 is how you can get a hold of us here at the Frat House Sports Radio Studios. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. I'd be more than happy to bring your comment to the air, or we can converse over that media if you would prefer. All right. Going to ask Brandon, I'm going to need you to take a look at the chat room since it's not opening up for me. So just keep your eye on it if you see anybody in
there.
I
do have it open.
Very good. You're in complete control of that one this evening since it's not behaving for me. When you look at the standings, and I just pointed out, I mean, week four, obviously still very early in the season, albeit it is one quarter of the season down. That's the equivalent of 40 games being played in Major League Baseball, right? Do I have that right? I think that's right. So we've had four games played. Buffalo Bills at the top of the AFC East. A lot of 3-1 teams. Only one 4-0 team now remaining in the entire league, and that's the Kansas City Chiefs. The AFC South completely stocked with 2-2 teams. Jaguars, Texans, Tennessee, all 2-2. In the NFC East, the Philadelphia Eagles lead there, 3-1. 0-4, New York Giants, team that many thought might win the NFC East in the preseason. I looked at the Giants in the preseason, and I said they're absolutely horrible. They have been so far absolutely horrible. Detroit Lions and Green Bay Packers, both 3-1 in the NFC North. Carolina Panthers, 3-1, albeit until this past week. I didn't think the Panthers actually showed much of anything. And the Rams, 3-1 in the NFC West. Of everything there, there certainly are quite a few surprises, but what's the biggest one?
Are you asking me?
Yep.
How bad the New England Patriots defense is. That's pretty much the biggest surprise to me. That's why they're losing. It's not so much the offense, although I will say the offense doesn't look quite as good as it did with Julian Edelman, but I think they'd be okay if they could like stop somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Panthers just kept going on that last drive to get into field goal range. And it was just, it's maddening watching a bad Bill Belichick defense. I don't know if they planned poorly, you know, in their, you know, makeup of the team this year, or, you know, I know they've had a couple of injuries, but, you know, you got Dante Hightower back this week, you know, you can't use that forever. You know, I think if you're going to call on Rob Ninkovich out of retirement, you can't wait too much longer. You know, if you break the season into quarters, we're 500 after the first quarter. You could be worse, but, you know, you'd like to go 3-1 each one if you can. 3-1 each four games gives you 12-4 at the end of the year. So, you know, that's probably.
Well, it's interesting you bring up the New England defense. Excuse me. Oh, tickle in my throat. But because there was a graphic I was going to put out. I don't know whether you saw it today or not, but there was a graphic that was out that I was going to include for Thursday night as kind of a talking point about this past week. The worst NFL defense on record ever was the 2012 New Orleans Saints, who allowed 7,046 yards in one season. Currently, the Patriots are on track to beat that. And by about 250 yards, by about 250 yards. Right now, the New England Patriots, 7,308 yards is what they are on current pace to allow as far as yardage. So you're not the only one that has taken notice of the New England defense and their woes.
Well, have you known, you've seen, we've all seen Bill Belichick make adjustments mm-hmm. as season goes. So I got to think that, you know, as things move this season, you'll see that number not grow that big. I don't think they're going to quite end up quite that bad. It's bad that they got off to such a bad start. And, you know, it's hard to say, you know, only New England will you, you know, start crying like it's the end of the world after a 2-2 start. But like you said, there was so many people predicting them to go undefeated. And as soon as I heard that, I'm like, yeah, that ain't going to happen. That never mm-hmm. happens. You know, it's like, yeah, okay, that's a computer model, whatever. The computer model's going to say whatever it says, et cetera. But like I said, I never personally never expected that. So I can't, I'm not ready to, you know, I'm not giving up or anything just yet. I think they still are going to probably end up winning the AFC East. But they do got to fix some things on defense. They certainly do. And I still have yet to see a solid Buffalo Bills game, you know, to be able to make any kind of judgment if they're for real or not. I think this coming Sunday, going to have to make sure we at least tune into a little of the Buffalo Bills. Cause mm-hmm. I do want to see, you know, I can't say for sure.
Right.
At this moment in time, but.
Well, the one of the things that I think that I was going to say that I think I don't know is a little bit alarming, and I would think perhaps maybe is alarming, should be alarming to Patriots fans. Three out of four of the games that have already been played have been played at home, and the Patriots are 1-2 at home. Which means at this point right now, there are only 5 additional home games remaining in the season for the Patriots. All right. Now, if the Patriots were to win all 5 of those, that puts your team at 6-2, which means they're going to need a heck of a lot of road victories. That puts a lot more pressure on the team now at this point.
Yeah, it does. And they have a game on Thursday already. You know, they have to turn around really fast from this tough loss and come back and play on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Tampa Bay.
Yep.
I believe that's in Tampa, so.
At Tampa, correct.
Yep. So they got to turn that around quick.
At this point right now, as you're pointing out, with that defense being, you know, the New England defense being what it is, it's the highest over-under on the board. 55.5 right now is the over-under.
What's the line on the actual game?
5.5 in favor of New England at Tampa.
Wow. Yeah, I don't like that line. That's a little, I don't know. They're not giving Tampa any respect with that line.
Hmm.
In my opinion, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I did hear this afternoon. Don't ask me to quote a name. I'd have to go look it up. But if I'm not mistaken, the Patriots did pick up a cornerback today. Another cornerback. They picked up another cornerback this afternoon. Don't ask me to give you a name.
Okay.
Don't ask me to give you a name, but be on the lookout. So it seems to me, though, your team doesn't need help at corner, does it? Corner, it seems to me the Patriots are pretty stout.
Yeah, but they've not had the best play from the cornerbacks this year. Yeah, there's a lot of people questioning Malcolm Butler's play from the start of the year. And the high price free agent isn't even starting off that great either. So it's tough to say. Tough to say on that one.
Now, I just asked you about, one quarter season surprises, shockers, et cetera. What do you make of these Rams? We kind of had a feeling going into the season, the NFC West wasn't going to be the same NFC West that we had seen in the past, because I think a lot of people, myself included, kind of recognized that Arizona was not the same Arizona. So you take one team out of the mix. San Fran wasn't going to be an impact team this year anyhow, despite the fact we have hope for their new management. So it came down to Seattle, and I think everybody kind of gave Seattle the nod, saying, well, Seattle ultimately will win this division. Now the Rams come on, and man, oh, man, I've been saying every week, oh, boy, I want to see a little bit of this Rams team. I want to see a little bit of this Rams team because, boy, oh, boy, this Jared Goff really looks like he might be the real deal. He might be okay. And son of a gun, they're 3-1. Should we be stopping? Should everybody be stopping and taking a good hard look at this Rams team?
I think they should actually.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should, because what you're seeing here could just be the start of this team and all its draft picks starting to gel a little bit. You know what I'm saying? In other words, like, they've had a lot of really bad seasons, and now, you know, the last few years they've drafted Tavon Austin, Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, and you know, now they've had a whole season for all them to play together. Then they were, you know, still pretty bad. Maybe they're starting to turn that corner. You know, that's generally the way you see this kind of thing happen. You know, you'll see people start to turn the corner, or, you know, they start to gel. We saw the same thing with the Raiders a couple years ago, you know, once they started getting pieces in place. So that, I don't know that it's going to hold. But if you look at the rest of their division, like you already pointed out, the 49ers aren't there yet. The Cardinals aren't what they were. They look like they still have decent, you know, amount of talent, you know, but I don't think they were the team they were before. And, you know, with Seattle, you don't know what you're going to get from week to week.
You don't.
So, you know, the Rams could end up, you know, winning that division. You don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 3-1's a nice start. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're going to win, but, you know, you got to like what you've seen so far if you're a Rams fan.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's an interesting NFC. It's an interesting NFC West. That's for sure.
How about the surprising Eagles in the NFC East at 3-1.
I'm tempering any enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tempering any enthusiasm.
Okay, so because, we can't talk good about your team, but we can talk about how dreadful my defense is.
No. You can talk. If you want to talk about how good my team is, you may.
Well,
I may not necessarily share your sentiment.
I think Carson Wentz has had a beautiful start to the year. You know, I don't see any, you know, chinks in the armor just yet. He's looking pretty good.
But see, I'm going to tell you, here's where I come down on it. And mind you, I was the one who said that the Eagles were going to lose this past weekend going out to San Diego. But I said they were also going to lose. They would lose by maybe 2 points. So I viewed this as a close game. It was going to be a close game one way or the other. I don't see where the Eagles have been a solid team this season. I think that they have been lucky. that the rest of the division has not been as competitive as people thought they were going to be yet. I mean, again, not dissimilar to the NFC West. Eliminate the Giants just like we eliminated the 49ers. They're 0-4.
Yes.
Who would have thought that they were going to be that bad? I certainly didn't think that the Giants were going to be that bad. But at 0-4, it's going to be virtually impossible, I believe, at this point now for the Giants. Certainly they can run off a couple of wins, but I don't know if they could come back and win this division. I'm just going to put it out there exactly that way. All right. I just haven't. Yeah, the Eagles might be 3-1, but I haven't seen a win in there, in my opinion, that has been that compelling and that convincing. They won this past week by just 2 points. They won the week before by just 3. They had a chance at beating the Chiefs, and they blew it, in my opinion. They should have beat the Chiefs. They could be 4-0. Had they beat the Chiefs, I probably would be higher on them. But because of the fact they blew it so badly with the game plan there, I kind of have felt like this coaching staff has responded to the outcry from the fans, which has been run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, which is what they did not do in the case of game 2 against the Chiefs. And so now suddenly they're simply responding to the fans. Oh, we better run the ball because that's what the fans are screaming for, recognizing that that was what they needed to do to begin with. So I haven't seen a compelling win by this team. That's just my personal opinion, and that's why I'm reserving judgment on them. I still think the Dallas Cowboys, despite the fact their defense is not, I don't think their defense is as good as the Eagles. I still think the Dallas Cowboys are the better team of the two in the NFC East. And that's
I'm not sure I agree
talking.
With you on that.
That's
I'm not sure
fan.
I agree with you there. I think I'd be more worried from the Redskins, even though the Eagles already have a win against them. Dallas just doesn't look like Dallas did last year. I can't put my finger on what's missing. Zeke Elliott's certainly not having the kind of year he had last year. Dak Prescott's kind of been up and down a little bit, but they're still 2-2. I've liked what I've seen out of Washington. Washington played the Chiefs tough last night.
Yes, they did.
They lost the Eagles and Chiefs, so they lost the two teams that have, you know, a 3-1 and 4-0 record. You know, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but you know, it's hard. I still can't be down on the Redskins just yet. They actually look a lot better than I expected them to look. Right now, I go Eagles, Redskins, Cowboys, Giants in the East.
Hmm. How about that?
That's the way I see it. Until the Eagles, you know, start losing a couple games here, I don't see any reason why they should. You know, they're pretty solid.
That's interesting because I would put the NFC East right now as Dallas, Philadelphia, Washington, New York.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I would put it. So, hey, if there are NFC East folk out there who want to jump in, I'd love to hear from you. 347-826-9964. It doesn't matter who you root for. Give us a holler. I'd love to hear from you about your team and where they stack up with things. Because, look, I'm an Eagles fan, and I'm unabashed about it. And for all intent and purpose, I'm here tonight basically saying I don't have confidence in my own team. Now, here's what I do have confidence in with the Philadelphia Eagles. I have confidence that they're going to be a better team than they were last year. They're going to be a better team than they were last year. All right? But does that mean they're going to win this division? No, I don't think. And even at this point right now, with them being 3-1, I don't think they're going to win the division. That's just my – now – I'm going to be honest with you. I think a lot of it has to do with my age and the fact that I'm jaded in some respects by this team because we've seen this before. The Eagles were 3-1 last year at this time. That's all I need to say. The Eagles were and what did they end up last year? 7-9? Were they 7-9? I think they were 7-9.
Yeah, I think they were.
So, you know. I'll put that out there, just to throw a wet cloth on all the Eagles fans out there, who now maybe they'll want to call 347-826-9964. All right, let's jump into, because I do want to get your thoughts on the Carolina Panthers, but we're going to do that when we get down here to talking about that game. But before we get to talking about that game, let's just run around the box scores here a little bit and take a look at a couple of the big games that did have an impact. And one of them that we mentioned was the Buffalo Bills beating the Atlanta Falcons. Buffalo Bills 23, Falcons 17. Atlanta Falcons, a team that I had said a week ago, 2 weeks ago, right here on this program, I think they might be the best team in the NFC. I still might think they're the best team in the NFC. So I might not, you know, I don't read this as saying that I've changed my tune on that. However, Matt Ryan certainly didn't have a wonderful afternoon on Sunday. 24 of 42, 242 yards. Yardage looked good. Holy smokes, though. Completion percentage, not very good at all. A touchdown and two interceptions, 61.8 passer rating. Tevin Coleman looks like the guy that they're – I don't know. I mean, Devonta Freeman had 18 carries, Brandon, but he only had 58 yards. Tevin Coleman, we're seeing him being used more and more and more, and specifically in that dual role purpose, not just running the ball, but also catching the ball, you know, out in the slot area, and also they're, you know, throwing the outlet passes to him. So you're kind of seeing Tevin Coleman being used as an all-purpose back. Tevin Coleman was really the man for the Atlanta Falcons the other day with what looks like, over 140 all-purpose yards between on the ground and through the air. Now, over on the Buffalo Bills side, Tyrod Taylor, 12 of 20, 182 yards, a touchdown, 106.7 passer rating. Tyrod Taylor. It's Tyrod Taylor. And so, therefore, I come away from it going, okay, Tyrod Taylor, you might dispute me, did another good job of game managing. And that's exactly what we saw there. Now, you're going to dispute me on that probably.
Not necessarily. I can't say because I haven't seen enough of them this year. By his stats, I would agree with you. He's only 12 of 20 for 182. That's mm-hmm. that's a game manager there. Yep. I mean, and I'll be honest with you, looking at their rushing stats, they're not super bouncing off the page. I mean, they have over 100 yards, but nothing that, you know, is earth-shattering. You know, I think the big reason, the big difference in this game was, you know, the two Matt Ryan interceptions. You know, that's your, just looking at the box score, that's what's, you know, it's leading me to. You know, I think they need to.
Well, now it sounds like what you're saying. It sounds like what you're saying then is if we, and again, listen, if anybody out there is a fan on either side and wants to jump in, that's why we do it this way. Give us a holler and correct us if we're wrong. But it sounds like what you're leaning toward, Brandon, is saying that this was more likely an Atlanta loss than a Buffalo win.
Possibly. That's what it looks like by the box score. I would
yep.
say that, yes.
Yep.
It's looking like that, you know, looking, that's what the stats are telling me. You know,
and
that
then,
this was more of an Atlanta giveaway
one
than
has
a
to, one has to wonder, and again, we're kind of speaking in a vacuum here, because as you point out, we have not had an opportunity to really sit, I guess, and diagnose or analyze the Buffalo Bills this year and see what they are all about. But it leads you to question whether, in fact, the Buffalo Bills, with their 3-1-1 record, have kind of been the beneficiaries of that with a couple of these games. Have they, in fact, been the beneficiaries of a couple of teams losing games, not necessarily Buffalo winning? Just as an FYI, Buffalo this week will play the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. It's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, 1 o'clock Eastern time. Cincinnati currently a 3-point favorite at home. The over-under on this game is stupid low. It's 39 points. That's it. It's
well,
the lowest
Cincinnati
over
can't score.
Exactly.
That's part
it's
of it.
The lowest
part
under
of it
on the board. So you got to wonder whether they're giving the offensive points to Buffalo, huh? But still making them the underdog nonetheless, because they're a 3-point underdog with Cincinnati being at home.
Looking at Buffalo, they're not putting up a tremendous amount of points.
No.
I mean, they're putting up, you know, enough to. I mean, they have a positive net of 19, but they've only scored 73 points. That's probably the lowest division leader of all of them. Just taking a quick look here. So, you know, I think Buffalo, like you said, is probably, you know, I think Tyrod Taylor's managing the games well, and I think they've done okay. I don't think that's going to work, you know, as the season rolls on. They do have the I guess you can call it a positive of having to play the Jets and Dolphins twice. So, you know, they could end up with a pretty decent record when
mm-hmm.
it's all said and done. But go ahead.
Particularly when you've got yourself starting out the season with a 3-1
yep.
record. You know, that goes for a lot when you think about it.
It's always better to start than try
yep.
to dig out of a hole.
Absolutely.
Always.
Absolutely.
And you know, anybody who's not 2-2 or better is pretty much digging out of a hole. If you only have one win at this point, whether it be, you know, 1-2 or 1-3 or lower, you're in trouble. You got a lot of work ahead of you. Even at 2-2, you know, you got to be careful. You can't keep losing games.
You got no wiggle room.
Two. Right.
Yep.
Well, you got a little bit, but you don't, you know, we've seen 10-6 get you in the playoffs. If you're at 2-2, you know, 10-6 is generally the, you know, cutoff for the playoffs. So, you still got a little wiggle room, you know, and
one of the things, for a good record,
you're still okay.
Right. And one of the things that I place emphasis on, just going back to my Philadelphia Eagles for a moment, because I was bringing it up with your New England Patriots. Your Patriots are 2-2, but I've already pointed out, hey, out of four games played, three of those games for the Patriots have been at home, and two of those games at home they've already lost. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles are 3-1, and they've only played one game at home. And that game was a win. So the fact that they've got more home games remaining in the final 13 games, then they have road games, I think, is a big, big plus for a team like the Philadelphia Eagles, who just so happen to be 3-1. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it all kind of adds up. It starts to build upon itself. The Philadelphia Eagles have got themselves in a nice, strong position being 3-1 this early in the season because they've only had one home game so far. But they've
played
two.
That's why I see them as the team to beat in the East now. I mean, they got a good start and they got a good schedule the way, you know, if they only played one home game out of the first four, they still, you know, got quite a few
yep.
left. They got seven left. So, you know, I like the flow of the Eagles at this moment.
Well,
you know, obviously, you're one injury away. I mean, look at the Raiders, you know, without Derek Carr now for a couple, 2 to 6 weeks, they could be in trouble. You know, that's a good division they're in. The Chiefs and the Broncos don't appear to be slowing down. You know, that three-horse race may have just became a two-dog fight, you know. It just went from, you know, which one of the three to, okay, well, now we got two left.
mm-hmm.
So, you know, all the teams are in that boat. You know, you can't lose, you know, key guys. Losing anybody, you know, anybody could, you know, have an impact on your season.
Mm-hmm. The Eagles, just getting back to the Eagles, and not that we were necessarily concentrating all of our chit-chat there on the Eagles. We weren't, but since I brought it back up again, the Eagles will be at home this coming Sunday hosting the Arizona Cardinals. And currently, the Eagles are a 6.5-point home favorite.
Over the Cardinals. Yeah, that's about right.
6.5 points. Who'd have thunk it, though? I mean, boy, the Cardinals have fallen so fast, so quickly, really.
No, they've just gotten old. But, you know, Carson Palmer's old. Larry Fitzgerald's older. David Johnson out, you know, for at least 8-10 weeks to start the season. So, you know, your three main skill position, you got age at two of them, and your star running back's out hurt. So, you know, it's not really not too hard to figure that one out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Chris Johnson, you know, they brought back in to try to take, you know, David Johnson's place. And so far, mediocre at best.
Yeah, albeit I think you need to stick with that one. I wouldn't give up on that yet. That might flip around.
Well, they are two and two. The Cardinals are, if they can string together some wins. I mean, you know, they got a big game against the Eagles, as you just pointed out. If they can upset the Eagles, and you know, they're going along their way. But you know, that's a tough game in Philadelphia against a 3-1 team that's you know, looking pretty stout.
In Philly, and you got to know that the crowd is going to be, I mean, since we've only seen one game in Philadelphia, the crowd's going to be up for it with the team leading the Eastern Division and 3-1 and all that. Listen, the Arizona Cardinals, I think, have got their work cut out for them. Now, you mentioned the Arizona Cardinals being a, you know, an aging team, for want of a better phrase. How about
I think
a couple
they
of
have
younger...
age on both sides of the ball, too. They have key defensive guys, you know, that are getting a little long in the tooth. So, you know, it's not just Carson Palmer. It's not just Larry Fitzgerald.
Well, it's a crazy thing. And just before I was just going to jump over to our next game, but let me just reference that for a moment, because one of the things that came up this past week in talking about the Arizona Cardinals as an aging team, Larry Fitzgerald was pretty darn good the other day in that game against the San Francisco 49ers. Now, mind you, he didn't have quite the yardage that he's had in the past, but he picked up on four completions. Two of those, if I'm not mistaken, were needed at times that they really had to have them, and one of them was for a touchdown. He had four receptions for 32 yards. So Larry Fitz is still coming. I mean, they're finding a way to get him involved at the most critical moments, and he's making some of the more critical plays when they have to be made. That it's just the way that guy is. It's amazing. So, you know, but
he's a heck of a locker room guy. He still can play. I'm not saying he can't play. But they need to focus, you know, change the focus of this offense to some of their younger receivers, like the two Browns, like John and Jerron Brown. I think you've seen a little bit of Jerron this last game. John, I think, has been out injured or at least hobbled. So, you know, I think that's what they need to do. They need to, you know, switch the focus of their offense. And, you know, I think that's just going to take a little time, and they may have to get ready for a change at quarterback. And I don't know what Larry Fitzgerald, I don't know what his contract status is beyond this year. I know he restructured to stay with the Cardinals a couple years ago. I do not know how long that is. So I think it'll start to clear up a little bit for them. Can they put together a run this year? Who knows? They might. They might be able to pull something together. They are only 2-2. You know, Seattle's iffy. We're not sure totally if the Rams are for real yet. You know, they could still piece together enough to win that division, depending on how everybody else plays. So I don't think you got to. You can't just, you know, you can't rule them out just yet.
I think it's well understood that really when it comes right down to it, the biggest question mark that Arizona has to address sooner than later is the quarterback position. And I think that the problem that they may have with that, Brendan, is that it seems to me that they haven't been forward thinking enough, because at this point right now, they've got Drew Stanton and they've got Blaine Gabbert, and that's it. Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't see the future franchise quarterback as being on the roster.
I don't. Do you?
I don't. No. Stanton has played okay filling in for Carson Palmer. Who else did you say? Who's their other quarterback?
Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah, he's had enough chances. He's nothing more than a fill-in at this point.
Exactly.
He's a backup. He's a clipboard carrier. He's a practice scout team quarterback.
That being said, I recognize and I realize that we have seen kind of a change in philosophy about this sort of thing more recently, and that is, hey, draft a quarterback, and we're going to start them the same year we draft them. Now, I'm not a big fan of that. I think it's a bad move. I don't necessarily condone having a quarterback sitting on your bench, a la Aaron Rodgers. That is 3 years. I don't know if that's such a good move. I'm not a big fan of even what my own team did, the Philadelphia Eagles, in drafting Carson Wentz and throwing him out there in game one of his rookie season. I'm not a big fan of that. I think Jared Goff is showing that a year of seasoning doesn't hurt.
Jared Goff did play, you know, from like week 10 on last year.
Yeah.
I think the NFL is changing at that position a little bit. I've always agreed at least a year, maybe a little more on the bench. I'm starting to lean the other way. We see too many quarterbacks, you know, coming right in, hit the ground running. You know, we saw Dak Prescott last year. We saw Carson Wentz, who, even though they didn't make the playoffs, he played well. He wasn't the reason the Eagles lost last year. You know what I mean? He played solid. And he has not – he's continued to progress. Golf has. Deshaun Watson's looking pretty good. We're going to see Mitch – what's his name out in – Trubisky out in Chicago.
Trubisky.
We're going to see him this week. Take
a look at Deshaun Kaiser and what his numbers look like, which are
absolutely
dreadful.
You know what, though? It's the Browns. What's around him? Who does he have throwing the ball to? Who does he have running? Come on.
He's got Isaiah Crowell.
And the same goes for Mitch Trubisky. Who does he really have to help him in Chicago?
All the more reason why would you put Trubisky out there?
Well, they got to get experience. I mean,
As you pointed out, there's time to get experience, as you did with Jared Goff, doing it in week 10, week 11, when the season is cooked and it doesn't matter.
I think the Rams are a different case because they've had, you know, high number one picks for, you know, 4 or 5 years now. And it's a matter of, you know, all these picks starting to gel together and play. You know, the Browns, they've had high picks, but they haven't had anybody that panned out. They keep wasting them on quarterbacks who can't play. They keep, you know, the Browns have a lot more work ahead of them. And so do the Bears. The Bears are kind of in rebuild mode too. I mean, they offloaded a lot of contracts last year. You know, they finally freed themselves of Jay Cutler. You know, they got rid of, Forte 2 years ago. They got rid of Alshon Jeffrey this past year via free agent. They just let him go. You know, so they're in the rebuild mode, you know, and if Trubisky can get some experience now, maybe after next year's draft and a few, maybe a free agent or two, maybe they'll be able to start to make some noise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't know. You got to, I think the key is right now with NFL and at the quarterback position, when you draft somebody, you need to determine pretty quick whether they're going to be your guy or not. You can't sit there and give them 3 years or 4 years to see if they can become that guy anymore. You know, I, you know, it's just, you saw it with Paxton Lynch in Denver. He played a little bit last year, played a little bit this year, and yeah, he got hurt. But Trevor Siemian won the starting job straight out. Whether or not Paxton Lynch hurt his shoulder in that last preseason game or not is irrelevant. He wasn't
starting. What's driving that philosophy? Salary cap?
I don't know. It could be. Maybe if you can determine in that rookie contract, if your guy's the guy, you don't have to sit and write the check you do to, like the Lions did to, what's his name? Bradford. Or not Bradford. Yeah, the Lions quarterback just signed a big contract.
Oh, Matt Stafford.
Matt Stafford. It's his second contract. So you need to determine pretty quickly, you know, in that first, you know, 4 or 5 years, depending what round you take him in, you know, if he's your guy. And I think teams are not going to wait, you know, 2-3 years to find out. I mean, now the Patriots are in a bind with Garoppolo because it's the end of his first contract. And the little bit he's got to play, he's kind of proved he can play a little bit. So, you know, do you move on from Tom Brady? Do you try to sign Garoppolo to a new deal? You really can't. You can't afford to pay them both, you know, unless you're ready to cut bait and move on from Tom Brady this year. The Patriots are losing Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is, really, is what the way it goes with quarterbacks in this league. You got to find out if they're good. You can't do the Aaron Rodgers sitting behind Favre for so many years like he did anymore. I think those days are over.
And let me come back to that for a moment. I want to come back to the New England Patriots, but I just want to bring up, because we've talked about some of the freshman quarterbacks that, you know, are starting or are about to start, you know, Deshaun Watson, Deshaun Kizer. You mentioned Mitch Trubisky. One of the ones we haven't seen, who I think might just be the best of them all. And it was interesting watching the Kansas City and Washington game last night on Monday Night Football. We heard references made to Pat Mahomes and how Pat Mahomes is going to be the heir apparent to Alex Smith, and how Alex Smith may not be, more likely will not be, with the Kansas City Chiefs next year, because it's believed that Pat Mahomes is going to take the reins of that over. But where's Pat Mahomes right now? Under an Andy Reid regime, he is sitting tightly on the bench. Now, remember, he got...
You can't justify, though. You can't bench Alex Smith. Come on, that team's on a run. They're 4-0.
And I'm not saying he's doing the wrong thing. Albeit,
okay.
I am gonna say this. Remember that we got McNabb under the Reid regime. The belief was that Doug Peterson was going to be the quarterback for that entire season. How long did that last? 4 games? I think that lasted 4 games.
Peterson couldn't play. Peterson couldn't play. You could have stood back there and quarterbacked the Eagles and done a better job than Peterson did as a quarterback of this team.
It's an interesting thing you say that. I think I actually said that myself back in, what was it, 1999. I think I said something very similar to my TV back in 1999.
A tackling dummy could have done a better job.
You bring up Jimmy Garoppolo. You're a Patriots fan.
I am.
And let me just speculate with you for a moment, because you're bringing up, you know, hey, if you know, obviously Garoppolo is going to be a free agent next year, unrestricted free agent. Do you believe, as a Patriots fan, do you believe that Garoppolo is a suitable replacement for Tom Brady?
It's hard to say right now.
We've seen quite a bit of Jim Garoppolo.
I have, but here's the thing. How many more years of Tom Brady do you have? He still looks pretty good.
Let's say you have none. Let's say it's next year. Would you view Jimmy Garoppolo?
Not now.
No?
I think Tom Brady's still a better quarterback today and next year. Tom Brady's probably a better quarterback. We don't know what Garoppolo can do down the road in the long haul, in the playoffs. We don't know what he can do when the games really matter. We've seen him play, you know, at the beginning of seasons. You know, we don't know his playoff pedigree like we do Tom Brady.
Okay. Now, so, that being said, let me ask you this question as a follow-up. I think you have to admit you probably have fewer years than not with Tom Brady.
Correct.
If, in fact, Jimmy Garoppolo leaves the New England Patriots next year, that means that the New England Patriots are going to be drafting another quarterback, okay, because Brissett, we know, is already now over at Indianapolis. They're going to be drafting another quarterback, and that guy is going to be groomed as the next Tom Brady replacement, and that one probably will be. Isn't Garoppolo a better bet than the question mark unknown that might be drafted next year?
Possibly. But here's the thing. Can you convince him that he's going to be the guy and how soon? You know, because he would have to sign a reduced, way below market deal to stay with the Patriots if, you know, if you still have Tom Brady next year. Because he's going to get starter money from somebody. Somebody's going to give it to him just to get him as a free agent. You see my points? In other words,
well, I got it. I think
the way I see it happening is more than likely the Patriots will tag him in some kind of way and work out a trade with somebody. That's probably how you will see Garoppolo leave. I don't see how. I don't see them just letting him walk, straight out walk. They can tag him. They can put a, you know, they can even franchise tag him. It doesn't necessarily mean all that. If they franchise tag him, all that means is they need to have enough cap space available, you know, in the event that he signs. He's not going to sign. There's no way he's going to pull a Kirk Cousins when he could be an unrestricted free agent. You know, Kirk Cousins, surprised.
Okay, wait a minute. Let me play devil's advocate here.
Sure.
If you're going to franchise tag me as a backup quarterback, you're paying me the highest salary of a quarterback in the league, are you not?
It depends what kind of deal you make. But
if you're going to franchise tag me, then I'm going to get the highest salary, the average salary that there is across the league as a quarterback, and yet I'm not a starter. Now,
correct.
Why wouldn't Garoppolo take that? Why wouldn't Garoppolo take that, even if it's only for a year?
He might. I don't know. I don't think when push comes to shove, even if they do tag him, I don't see it happening.
Hmm.
In other words, I think they will tag him and trade him. That's the way I see it going down. We'll see. I mean, we're talking about off season.
I know, but can you tag and trade and have the trading team negotiate their own deal with the quarterback that's been tagged?
You can before a certain date. If it gets to a certain date, then you cannot, and then it's
then you
all
cannot. And that contract becomes valid for any team that would acquire him. Okay, I got you. Okay.
Now what they could do is he could sign the tag, and then they could trade, and then they could the trading team could rework the deal.
Renegotiate.
Right. But there is a point here that if they do end up doing something along those lines, it's not good for Jimmy Garoppolo because he will not be available to start a free agent when all the money's there. You know, so that's going to definitely lower the number of people who would be, you know, in the market for his services.
Well, that would be true. The franchise tag usually comes down. The deadline for the franchise tag usually comes down less than a week before free agency begins.
Correct.
It's less than 7 days. So they would have to tag him less than 7 days before free agency began.
That is correct.
Wow. Okay. Well, here's where I think it gets interesting, why I was quizzing you. Because I believe that the Patriots have quite a conundrum they're going to need to deal with very, very soon here.
I think they already have a plan because they already, you know, they traded Jacoby Brissett away. So they clearly took him out of the equation. They didn't think he was the guy or he was the right quarterback for this team.
I think when they did that, Brandon, wasn't the thinking from both you and I that, in fact, they were going to sign Garoppolo to a multi-year deal?
No, I did not. I don't think one thing has anything to do with the other.
Well,
I think they tried to trade Garoppolo in the offseason for a nice draft pick package, and they didn't get what they were looking for. I think they were content to keep Brissett as the backup to Tom Brady. If they could have got, you know, say a number one and a two or two ones, you know, we don't know what's true. We can only read the reports that were out there as far as what the asking price was in the offseason. But I think they had at some point they made a decision, say, okay, Garoppolo, you're our backup. We'll deal with you in the offseason. And, you know, it's just, you know, that's the way it's going to be. Do I think Garoppolo is going to be a Patriot? No, I don't. I think Tom Brady's a quarterback for next season and maybe the year after. And I think the quarterback of the future is not yet on the roster. That's my gut feeling. I don't think it's going to be Garoppolo. So we'll see.
And therein goes, I guess, part and parcel of the questions that I was quizzing you with, because it just seems to me that you know more about Garoppolo right now than you would about a question mark quarterback coming in from the draft, say, this year or next year. So it makes more sense to me.
You do,
it
but
makes
if
more
you
sense
have
to me to sign Garoppolo now. That's
I don't
what,
agree
that's
with you because
point.
I
that's
think you
point.
If you can have another this year, two more years of a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, you could end up with another Super Bowl championship. Well, you don't take that chance. You don't know if Garoppolo has the pedigree to take you to the game. You don't know how he's going to play in the playoffs. You don't have any of that for this quarterback yet. You know, I don't think it's a sure bet that Garoppolo's the guy.
Yeah, but what you've got, Brandon, is you've got playing experience. You've got professional games.
You're right.
And game
but if you're confident,
you
if you're confident in your personnel department, you will be able to find your next quarterback in the next two seasons. They'll probably draft one this year.
Oh,
that
man,
would be my guess.
I mean, you know, listen.
We'll see. Let's see how it plays out.
You know,
How about this? Jimmy Garoppolo goes unrestricted free agent. The Cleveland Browns break the bank for him, and he sits in Cleveland and sucks for the next 5 years because the team around him can't play. What good does that do anybody?
Okay, but see, that's my point. You're making my point even stronger.
No, it doesn't. It does not mean him staying in New England would make him the next Tom Brady.
Oh boy.
It just doesn't, one thing doesn't equate to the other.
Hmm. Oh, man alive. I don't know. I mean, my brain right now is flying back over quarterbacks we have seen come and go in this league in just the past couple of seasons. I'm sitting here, I'm thinking to myself, my God, do you realize that the Oakland Raiders are going to be starting EJ Manuel next week? We got EJ Manuel starting for the Oakland Raiders, who many of us thought was going to be, you know, the Oakland Raiders were going to be possibly the AFC West division leaders. Now they might be, you know, third in the division. Who knows? You know, I'm thinking about Brock Osweiler. Everybody thought Brock Osweiler was going to be the thing. This guy's now on his, what, fourth team? I mean, seriously.
No, he's back where he started.
Well, right. Well, that's his fourth team. One, two, three, and then back to one. I mean, yeah. Here's poor Deshaun Kizer. You're talking about the Cleveland Browns. He's about ready to become the next guy on the jersey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man alive. I don't know. It just seems to me that the prudent thing to do is when you've got a body of work that you can point to, you go with that over what's.
Yeah, but the economics of the NFL don't allow you to keep two. So the only way you could do what you're suggesting would be the means you're cutting ties with Tom Brady at the end of this year, no matter what. And I don't think that's the prudent thing to do either. Because, you know, with him and this team, you know, they got a lot of guys around him. You know, I think they could, you know, they can be a solid contender for this year, next year, maybe the year after. You don't know, you know. Do you see signs of Tom Brady's game deteriorating?
Yes, this year I do so far. I'm going to be honest.
Really?
With you.
Have you looked at his stats? Look at his stats.
I did not think that that game the other day was played very, very well, and I didn't think that the first loss that they had at home that he looked very good.
But
I
you're hanging that on Tom Brady. That's all the defense.
I am.
That's not
I
Tom
am
Brady. Look at Tom Brady's line.
Are
you serious?
I'm going to hang some of those passes. I'm going to hang some of those passes that I saw that went up there the other day at Tom Brady's feet because they landed at the feet of the receivers he was thrown onto. If I didn't know better, I would have thought that it was Donovan McNabb throwing some of those worm balls that I saw being thrown. Tom Brady, 32 of 45, 307 yards, 2 touchdowns, 104.6 passer rating. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
And look at him for the year. He's probably leading the league in yardage, touchdowns, and probably has one of the lowest, if not the lowest, interceptions. Tell me where's the fall off? That's what I want to know. It's the defense. The defense sucks. You yourself pointed out they're on pace to set a record for the worst defense in football. That's why they have 2 losses. It has nothing to do with comedy. Nothing to do with put up, you know, a ton of points. It's the defense who can't stop anybody. They need to fix that.
In fairness to your argument, Tom Brady right now ranked the number one quarterback in the entire NFL in yardage, 1,399 yards so far through 4 games. He is averaging 350 yards of offense per game. 10 touchdowns right now ties him with Aaron Rodgers. So they are both tied for number one. I hear you on that one. However, I'm going to tell you, in the 2 losses that I saw him take, Brandon, I was unimpressed with a number of different times that he just didn't look like
Can I tell you what you're seeing? A quarterback who's stuck in shootout game after shootout the game because his defense sucks. They can't play from a position of strength like they usually do and go out there and put 3 touchdown lead on the board. And then they can do what they want to do offensively. Right now, they're stuck trying to hang in the game because their defense can't stop anybody. That's the difference. It's not that he's not performing. You just said it. He's got the number one yards, number one touchdown tied with Rodgers.
I'm not taking anything away from him.
I don't see the fall off. I don't see any fall off in his game.
It's an eye test. That's all I can tell you. It's an eye test.
You need
test.
Them checked, bud. You need your eyes checked.
I don't know. You might be having a little trouble looking through your blue Patriots glasses.
I don't think so. I think I'm seeing it pretty clear. They were one of the worst defenses I've seen in a long time.
Let's do this.
I do believe you yourself pointed that out earlier in the show.
I did point that out, and I have no problem pointing that out. Because I'm a stats guy, you know that. But my eye test is telling me something else. That's what it is.
You're just seeing the difference between a quarterback who can play from the position of strength versus a quarterback who's playing from catch up. That's all.
Don't try to make me out to be a Brady hater. I'm not a Brady hater.
Not.
You know that.
I'm not.
You know that. You know I'm not a Brady hater.
You asked me. The whole question was, do I think the Patriots should move on from Brady and sign Garoppolo?
I'm
and I said no.
Prudently, with the timing being what it is. It makes sense to me.
They'll find another Garoppolo
to
in
make
the draft.
A move. Listen, you've got. I'm just saying, you got a body of work you can point to with Jim Garoppolo.
Not bad. Not bad. I haven't seen any playoff games.
Well, okay, all right. We haven't seen playoff games from Deshaun Watson either. So.
Nope.
You know, while everybody's getting themselves in a lather over Deshaun Watson.
I'm not saying he's the next Tom Brady, but I'm saying upgrade from Tom Savage.
I've heard Deshaun Watson this past week, compared to Dan Marino, for God's sake.
Not from me, you haven't.
No, not from you, but for, not
that
Dan
Marino. I'm not sold here. I'll tell you when I'm sold on a quarterback, and this is why I'm not sold on Matt Ryan, even though he went to the Super Bowl last year.
I know you want to win playoff games.
I want to see you consistently win playoff games, not go out in the first round.
Super Bowl last
year.
Okay,
yeah,
what?
That's fine. Yeah, hey, the almighty Peyton Manning won a Super Bowl. His career, he lost 3 out of 4 of round one playoff games throughout his career. That's all I need to say. 3 out of 4 times in round one to the playoffs, Peyton Manning went home.
Oh man, alive! Boy, you're going to be tough on Jimmy Garoppolo if he's your quarterback. I hope.
No, hey, have you seen anybody, succeed in the wake of another franchise quarterback, short of maybe Aaron Rodgers? I mean, really?
Thank you very much. I was just about to go right there. I was going to go. Wait a minute. Favre to Rodgers.
The Dolphins are still looking for the next Marino. The Broncos were struggling looking for the next Elway, and they hitched on to Peyton for a few years.
The Cowboys haven't done badly. The Cowboys haven't done badly over their franchises.
Who was their last killer, though? Troy Aikman? You're not going to put Romo in the same level as Troy Aikman, are you? I hope you're not, because Tony Romo didn't win a goddamn thing in the playoffs, and Aikman has 3 rings.
No, you can't listen. I wouldn't put Troy Aikman in the same category with Roger Staubach, to be perfectly blunt with you. But the bottom line is
Aikman has more rings.
But the bottom line is
Aikman has more rings.
Tony Romo at least got the Cowboys to relevancy. Let's put it that way. We're not talking about a series.
His playoff record was very spotty.
We're not talking about a series of absolute screw ups like we're seeing up in Cleveland. All right.
There's different levels. I agree with you. I absolutely agree.
That's my point.
You know, if you wanna say you got a franchise quarterback for the next 10, 12 years, I wanna see more than what I've seen out of Jimmy Garoppolo to this point. I have not seen, and you're not going to have a chance
to see it.
Well, hey,
if you
have to choose the end of this season.
What the hell is going to take to take over your team to be the new – I mean, what kind of a workout do you want to put the next quarterback for the New England Patriots through?
Look, Mike, in 2 years,
you've
got
to play 3 seasons and get us to the playoffs twice.
No,
and then maybe I'll accept you.
No, that's not what I'm saying. Not at all what I'm saying. In 2 seasons, if Brady retires and they draft a new quarterback, you just got to wait and see. It's no different than, Carson Wentz in Philly. They didn't know what they had. They drafted him second or overall.
I'm just saying, from a general manager standpoint, doesn't it make more sense?
No, it doesn't. I'm saying, no, it does not. I want two more years from Brady. I can't have both. I want 2 more years from Brady. If that means I don't get to keep Garoppolo, so be it. Yes,
okay.
That's what I'm saying. It does not make sense
to move on
from the Hall of Fame quarterback yet.
Okay, so you lose Garoppolo this year, you'll draft a quarterback that you're going to have sit on your bench for the next 2 years, and you're gonna be okay with starting them in year 3.
You're not gonna have a choice at that point.
Okay.
It's no different than any other team we're talking about right now with new quarterbacks.
And you'll be comfortable with that over any other alternative.
I know when Tom Brady's playing days are over. the Patriots are not going to be what they are today for a long time, probably. You only get players like that to come along, you know, once a generation.
Yeah,
you're
but
not
if you've
gonna,
got the opportunity, if you've got the opportunity
Garoppolo's
to bridge.
Garoppolo's not a Tom Brady.
To bridge.
I don't care. I don't think what I've seen out of Garoppolo makes me want to say, oh, God, we can't use him. Lose him. I don't see that.
All right.
I'm sorry. I don't see, oh, my God, he's going to be it. I'm 100% sure I can't lose him. No, I don't see that out of Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm sorry. I just don't.
This has been a fun night here because we had, I mean, it was never intended that we were going to get into almost an entire program talking about quarterbacks. But, hey, no problem. It's been a lot of fun. Let's get Lou from New Jersey in here and get some of his thoughts. This should be interesting because, of course, Lou is a Jets fan. Lou, how are you tonight? We're having
doing
some fun
than
over
some
here.
Games.
This entire conversation and our entire program has just broken down into a conversation about quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, rookie quarterbacks.
Right.
Talk to us about quarterbacks. What do you think?
Well, I hate to say it, but the Giants quarterback is looking awful. But now, you think everybody's thinking the Jets were going to do horrible because of their quarterback situation. But so far, they seem to be holding up their end of the bargain. I mean, do anybody expect them to go 2-2 right now? No, they expect them to be 0-4. Like, say, the Giants or Sandy or the Chargers, which are doing horrible. And I can't think of anything for Prescott. I mean, Dallas has lost a step.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit.
Well, all right. But
and Brady, what happened to him? I mean, he hasn't seemed ring on all cylinders so far this year. 2-2 for the Patriots.
Uh-oh. Well, wait a minute. Weren't you just listening to our conversation?
Yes, but I wasn't able to respond.
Okay, all right. Now, what are you, poking the bear? I mean, Brady just pointed out. Wait a minute. Look at his numbers. He's number one across the league in just about every category. And
so
The
defense sucks. What part don't you understand? They are on the track, as Frat House Mike pointed out earlier, to be the worst defense in the history of the NFL at the current pace they're going.
That is the reason they suck. Yep.
Two and two is a miracle if you look at it from that point of view.
A miracle.
Well,
I mean, the Patriots were supposed to be dominant. I mean, they have taken them.
You're right.
Everybody was taking them 19-0 this year.
Yep.
Believe me, they're not playing like a 19-0 team this year. They're
playing
like 1-3 or maybe 0-4.
How about 2-2?
So,
But they're playing like they're worse.
I don't know about that. They're putting up points. They still lead. They're still one of the highest scoring teams in the entire league.
With due respect,
they are second in points scored throughout the whole year. The Los Angeles Rams is the only team that scored more points than the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm surprised by the Rams success.
The problem is they've probably given up the most points in the league. So there's your problem.
Hmm.
You can't have they have given up the most points in the entire league with the exception of the Indianapolis Colts.
Here's the point that I saw made from somebody today in a conversation that revolved completely around the fact that the New England Patriots, as has been pointed out in this program, the New England Patriots right now are on track to have potentially the worst defense ever in the history of the NFL. All right.
Wow.
Giving up something ridiculous like 7,300 yards for the entire season. And the point that was made by somebody, and I think it's a valid point, is you can't expect Tom Brady to collect up 35 points a game when you're giving up 30. You just can't expect that to happen. That's 5 touchdowns a game.
Right.
So that would be too much to be asking when it comes right down to it of a 27-year-old quarterback, let alone a 40-year-old one. I mean, and look, and I'm not making excuses for his age or anything like that, but that's the truth. That's a lot to ask of any quarterback. I mean, seriously. So I think, you know, Brandon's point, I mean, it's valid. I mean, we all know that defense wins championships in the NFL. And
correct.
we know that defense has an awful lot to do with making your offense roll. And one of the ways it makes your offense roll, Christ, we saw that right here in Philadelphia under the Chip Kelly era. I mean, that man ran his offense out there so fast. They were out there for such a short period of time that the defense went out there, gassed themselves, and were done within a half game. So they had nothing left for the second half of the game. And what was happening? Mm-hmm. The offense couldn't keep up with what the defense wasn't doing. What, it got it?
That's the exact position the Patriots are in right now.
Exactly.
Now, will it change? Do you expect? Let me ask this question. I'll ask both of you. Knowing what you've seen out of the Patriots and Bill Belichick, do you expect them to continue to be the worst defense in the history of the NFL?
No.
Do you think changes will happen? Yes or no?
I don't see that being put in the same sentence, like them being the worst defense in the league and, you know, still with two. Oh, my goodness, Minnesota's up 3-0 over the Yankees already. I'm going to puke. Ugh.
Oh, wow.
Well, that'll
you
make
Fred House
Mike happy.
You got a problem with that?
Yeah, I do.
He's a Yankee fan.
Oh.
Well, I've been a Yankee fan since before I could talk, okay?
Uh-oh.
You know the Yankees. The Yankees were a -250 going into tonight's game.
What?
Yes.
Say what? A -250. You know who put up that?
Yep. Yep. Yep.
All right. Who's the nitwit that put that at -250?
That's the book. That's the book. I'm just telling you.
The book
I'm telling
needs
you
to
what
be
the...
changed.
Well, then go argue it with Vegas. Anyhow.
We'll leave Vegas alone. They got enough problems right now.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Yeah, you're probably right. They weren't thinking straight.
No, I mean, considering what they've been through, I'll leave them alone for right now.
To answer your question, Brandon, do I think they'll be the same defense in the next couple of weeks? Are changes coming? Probably. You're right. They will.
Yeah.
And we know this. Defensive players are easier to acquire via free agency or practice squads, or even off the street. Defensive players are easier to pick up than some of your skill offensive players. We know that. So could the Patriots correct some of their problems fairly quickly? Yes. The point is they're going to need to do it fairly quickly, in my opinion. I think they're going to need to do it fairly quickly.
I agree with you. I think they need to start this week.
Right. As you point out, you don't want to be 4-4 at midseason.
No.
That's not what.
No.
Right. Right.
But
there
I think
go.
They will fix it. This is history shows.
Okay, what do they do, though?
Oh, you know what? I'm not a player. Coach, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're going to make changes in the secondary to bolster the linebacking core. I think the linebacking core is the weak spot of the Patriots right now. So you might see them play 5 defensive backs throughout the game and just play go with two linebackers. You know, it just may be the way you see things change, you know. They'll come up with something. They'll come up with a new formula. It's what they always do. That's what they have to do.
That's Matt Patricia's job.
Matt Patricia and Belichick. Belichick always definitely has his fingerprints on the defense, no matter what. I think he has his fingerprints on the whole team. But, you know, do I think the Patriots are going to go into the playoffs as dominant as they've have the last couple of years? No. I think this year is going to be a bit of a struggle. I can tell you that right now. Yes, I do. I think they will, because the division's horrible. The Jets and the Dolphins are terrible. You know, the Bills, they're off to a good start. I haven't seen enough Bills games yet to know I got to watch some, and I'm going to make a point of watching some of the Bills game this week just because, you know, I got to see if they're for real. And looking at, we kind of looked at the game from this week stat-wise earlier in the show, and it looks like they're managing the game. You know, I think Atlanta lost that game more so than the Bills winning that game, just by the stats.
Remember what I said, though. With Cutler as their quarterback, Miami didn't have much of a chance, and I've been right so far.
They have had no chance, period. Even with Tannehill, they were going to suck. They're just sucking more because Cutler can't play.
Well, maybe with Tannehill, yeah, but with Cutler, a hell of a lot worse.
Yes,
well,
I agree.
Listen, you know, Cutler...
Cutler should be in the booth broadcasting like he intended to do. But no, they paid him
$13
million to come play.
He's getting skewered. He's getting skewered even in his own media. You know, for the fact that he looks...
Lack of effort.
He doesn't even look like he's into the game, that he's just there collecting a paycheck. It's really almost disgraceful in some respects what we're seeing from Cutler, to be perfectly honest with you, because it does look like he's... just gold bricking, to be perfectly
collecting
blunt.
A check, $13 million.
Anyhow, all right. Well, we've kind of run it down at this point. Lou, make sure you give us a holler next week, will you please? Because I do want to get your thoughts. I mean, because you're sitting there, and you're going, hey, the Jets aren't too bad. They're 2-2. They should be 0-4.
Yeah.
Ah, boy, oh boy.
You would
I'd
think
like
so, wouldn't you?
I'd like to get your thoughts a little bit more on that one, but unfortunately, I only have about a minute and a half left. I only have about a minute and a half here left this evening. So, make sure you get on a little bit earlier next week because I don't know if that's such a, really. You're happy with 2-2, huh? Okay. All right.
Well,
if
I was
about
a Jets fan with the start of this season,
I'm happier now than they would be if they were 0-4. I'll put it to you that way. I mean, I'm not completely satisfied, but at least it's better than what most people expect.
I might be able to engage you in a similar Brandon-type conversation about, you know, what the hell is this team going to be doing for the future? Because Josh McCown certainly isn't it. So let's get this one straight. Okay. All right, Lou. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Make sure you give us a holler on Thursday night as well for our regular program. We'll talk to you soon. All right, there you go. And you just heard me mention the Thursday night program as well. And look, this is the way this program goes. We're going to try to touch on as many different things as we possibly can. But however the ebb and flow of the program rolls, that's how the conversation is going to go. And so while we wanted to get into a bunch of other game breakdowns like the Los Angeles Rams and the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, it's all right because we had a great conversation about quarterbacks and what have you in this league, and we have a lot of them, a lot of new ones this year. So what you want to do next is you want to be tuning in on Thursday night for our flagship program, the Frat House Sports Show. I think it's number 313. Coming your way Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we got an abbreviated staff, Brandon. It's just going to be you, me, and Chris because we got Matt out in St. Louis. And the last I checked, he's not going to be calling into us. So it's just going to be the three of us. But you can bet we will probably get into a lot of NFL stuff. That is, unless I can rope Chris into talking a little Major League Baseball, which I doubt.
I wouldn't hold my breath. You have better shot talking college football with him than you do
MLB. I know. So maybe I'll have to push his buttons on some college football. Anyhow, we'll find something to push his buttons on, that's for sure. You know that. But you want to be here for that one. And then, yes, we're going to try to get our Race Trim Motorsports Hour back online this coming Sunday. 11 a.m. in advance of NASCAR's playoff race number 4. So that'll be at 11 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday, all right? But your next stop, Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. All right, many thanks to Lou for calling into us. Nice job today, Brandon. A lot of fun. And everybody out there, hey, get out there and, enjoy your sports.